when I spoke to Ion, I was under the impression that I was speaking to a man who was channeling Ion.
You were. Now, Ion has always insisted that they don't require channeling. But they came in March 18, 2009, because they said me and Carolyn would not accept it any other way. But by 2014, I think, on my timeline, you can hear me and Carolyn get JW on Skype. We couldn't record the video. JW will never let himself be seen. He's one of the wealthiest people in America, and he has all kinds of reasons not to be seen, including this. So Ion had told me in earlier that they don't have to speak through JW, but they were being careful with everybody and being acceptable by having JW be a channel. So I said by 2014, I'm ready to do the non-channeling. I can accept it, whatever it is. And he said, well, it'll be more like a hologram. Okay. So we get him on Skype on November 27th, I think it's 2014. I'd done JW channeling Ion on Skype before, and basically JW keeps his eyes open, but they go kind of a bit glazed. That's all that's changed when you're talking to Ion through JW. But this time, we're looking at JW. I said, okay, we're going to start, but I didn't know what would happen. All of a sudden, there's this, well, it looks like JW. It's JW, but he's walking, and he's got his iPhone down at his waist looking up. So we're looking up the side of his torso, his shoulder, up to his face. So Carolyn says, well, okay, you got up and you're walking. Where's JW? And so the phone aims back like 25 or 30 feet in the room, and we see JW in the distance, his body, the original JW, not standing, he's sitting, and then we are suddenly in front of JW, and he's got his head to the side of us in a profile with his eyes closed. I've never seen him like that before, but he's out, and his eyes are closed, and you're seeing the side of his face. And then the image comes back to looking at the torso, who's sort of floating. Then we realize there's two things going on there. There's an exact hologram of JW, but the physical chemical body JW is back over on the other side of the room, knocked out. So this hologram, exact replica of JW, floating along, is not bouncing up and down, which is what happens when you walk. A human kind of goes up and down if they've got their iPhone on their body looking at it, and you're looking at the body. So I said, you're floating. And he's, yeah, we're not a physical body. We are a hologram. We could be anything right now. We could be a nest of snakes. You could be looking at a nest of snakes. So as we proceeded to engage this hologram for, I don't know, an hour, the face of JW in the hologram was a little more porcelain and serious than JW's bubbly baby face kind of face. So that was pretty interesting. Now, I've done many hours with Ion channeling through JW, but I can't see what's going on. But in this case, I saw at some point the hologram JW smirking before he said something to me. So I saw him anticipating that he was going to make a joke, put me on, blah, blah, blah. So that was the first time I saw Ion sort of having these human emotions of smiling. Now, Ion is not human, doesn't have human emotions, but seems to have a human emotions as they talk through JW.
Did it creep you out?
No. I don't know. I've talked to dead people through the Evergreens, well, Michael Blake Reed channel, the Evergreens. I did Dave Worster in the late 60s through Cosmic Awareness. I've always gone to different psychics. I don't get bothered about the idea we're ghosts or people. There are ghosts. Not a problem. As a matter of fact, when we came here in June 2008, by March, April, we're having 5, 6, 7 hour sessions with Ion because JW felt a constant orgasm when he was, quote, channeling Ion. So he kept wanting to do it, and he was doing it for free. So we piled up the hours and the content pretty quickly. And right now I'm playing on my Achieve Radio show, I'm playing those early sessions with Ion in April, May, June, July, August, September, October 2009, and they're amazing. They got a lot of secret stuff that we weren't allowed to put out back then, but now I do. We're well into lockdown Bob Rule now, so I can put out this more secret stuff, but people are really blown away by how we interacted very quickly with Ion. He told us a lot of stuff.
I'm kind of blown away because that was right when you and I were doing the first 19 episodes of the show.
Well, one of the shows I brought Ion in coming through JW.
Yes.
On one of the shows. We showed up in June 2008. By December, we moved to this perfect house on Maui. We rented that for 4 or 5 years, then we bought it. But very quickly, Ion informed us that we had to move to a bigger house. They weren't going to come through JW until we moved to the bigger place. We were in a little bungalow before, and because there were so many ghosts that were going to be around us once Ion showed up, or they were already around us, because Ion was around us in JW for about a year before March 18, 2009. We found out that later. So there's like 250 ghosts in my house. That doesn't bother me. And the way we notice them, Ion says, if you want to see a ghost, look at a mirror through the corner of your eye. Just sort of watch it. You do it through the corner of your eye. And, you know, like in a glance. So I'm always thinking someone just walked into the room. And I look over and there's nobody there, but something got activated in the corner of my eye, just like JW said. Okay, so one time we were looking at JW on Skype very early. I think, yeah, it was after Ion had showed up. And there's this weird data surrealistic skeleton thing. It's sort of like one of those skeleton things on the cover, We're Only for the Money by Zappa. Remember he did a takeoff on Sgt. Pepper's? And I think they have a scarecrow kind of thing in the group picture. The one with all the faces of bad people with little black marks over their eyes.
Yeah,
you know, they imitated
yeah.
the Sgt. Pepper's thing. So I'm thinking of a scarecrow kind of thing there. But here's his scarecrow with, like, his neck was made of a wheel tire. It didn't really have flesh on it. It just was made up of objects that made it look fleshy, but it was pretty ugly looking. And that was there. We saw that. And JW said, or Ion through JW, that these kind of things show up in JW's house all through his life. So it stayed there. Eventually the dog was barking, and it came running in and barked at the thing, which was right behind JW's body. And eventually you could see it running through it, you know, trying to attack it or something. So it was there the whole time, like a couple hours, just sitting there, this immobile, ugly kind of structure, looking like a human. That didn't bother us, but when we told people on the radio show later about it, a lot of people were creeped out. They are quite bothered by ghosts for some reason.
I get goose pimples when I hear ghosts.
So what happened? The next day, JW told me his mother came over, and he was upstairs, and he heard his mother saying, "Who's that person in the other room?" The fucking thing was still standing there. And she was just looking at the distance and thought it was someone visiting JW, so said, "Who's that person in the other room?" So JW and I and Carol were laughing about how it was still visible. It eventually went away, but that is the only ghost I've seen. I don't know what it was. I've never seen a ghost, as far as I know. Ion says more and more, because the Guff, where people go when they die, is closing, more and more there are people walking around from the Guff, and vampires and every other form, more and more of them are on the planet. And Ion says that we would not have 7 billion people if we relied on human jism. It wouldn't have been that many people. Like half of the world's population are people from other worlds and paranormal phenomena. So you are actually seeing ghosts when you walk down the street.
Are you talking about like walk-ins from other like times? And
every variation you can come up with. There are people who are ascended that they can go from world to world. A lot of people come from other worlds and leave for other worlds. They're walking around. They look totally like a human. I used to point out who was a parallel worlder on the beach we always went to, we still go to here in Maui, and there was a couple. Every winter or so, they'd show up and sit on this weird, have a weird couch, tent apparatus, and they'd sit there and be oblivious to everybody. They'd sit there, I don't even think they went in the water. So eventually they found out that they were two people who were from the parallel world and basically didn't see anybody that we saw. I mean, parallel world people can see us, But these people were kind of not there. So that was an example of we saw them, but they never talked to anybody. They just sat there basking in their covered up lounge, lounge chair.
Right,
with
right.
With a tent over.
Basically, what I remember about Ion was that JW had these bizarre kind of things happening in his house. Like where the
yes.
radios were playing without, the electricity
yes.
was off, but it was still playing. And Ion kind of came to him electronically.
No, I evoked Ion. You
well,
remember how it began?
Well, okay, so...
here's how it happened, just quickly.
Okay.
JW, right after we moved to Maui, he started thinking he had to write books because he was getting all these ideas. So Carolyn volunteered. She had more time in Maui than in New York. So she volunteered to write down. Let him just say it, and she'd write it down. He'd dictate the stuff. So he started to do that. But very quickly, he got distracted by the fact now he could walk out onto his patio in his big mansion and go to other worlds. And, like, this was a shock. He could go. He could see other worlds, actual other worlds. So he was being a parallel worlder by default. And then in February, March, he said, Bob, I can see all kinds of ghosts around me, and I can talk to them. He had like 50 to 100 ghosts in his home. So one day, 1st of March, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, he said, do you know a Dr. Beer? I said, yes. He was a friend of mine, and he died in 1987. He said, well, he came to me last night and said, say hi to Bob. So when I heard that later on March 17th, I said, well, I used to talk to Beter through the Evergreens, through Michael Blake Reed and the Evergreens. And I said, maybe these the Evergreens have gathered around and I can talk to them because they had stopped performing through Michael for 4 years, since late 2004. And JM said, well, okay, whatever you want to do. And I said, okay, let's get on the phone tomorrow, March 18th, and we'll see if I can talk to them. I had no clue what I would do. So we get him on the speakerphone, and Carolyn's there ready to take notes. I said, let's just be quiet for a short while. So at 30 seconds of quiet, at that point, JW's voice started talking, saying this weird stuff. And you can go on my website and see the transcript of that, because it wasn't recorded. And he's saying weird stuff. I actually got into the Resolute Desk in the White House, where the president has what's called the Resolute Desk. And after 10, 15, I don't know, 20 minutes, I thought it was pretty good, even though I didn't understand what JW was talking about, and I didn't know if it was JW trying to fool me or what. I said, well, if this is really good, I can talk to somebody, like I did with the Evergreens. So with the Evergreens, you would go, Ellie, the assistant, would say, we would like to locate, and you'd name a name, and you start to give their birth date and stuff like that. So I said, taking that ritual, I said, okay, I would like to locate. And before I could say who I want to locate, JW's voice names a person who turned out to be a daughter of Marsha McLuhan, says something very personal about that person. And I was the only one who knew it because I worked with that person. And so I said, well, this voice knows the McLuhan reality. So I said, okay, you're McLuhan. So I started talking to this ghost of McLuhan, and it was really good for a while. So I was happy with that. And then we went on to other stuff. The session lasted about an hour and a half, I think. So I saw that I could talk to ghosts, like through the Michael Blake Reed. Okay, so at the end of it, it probably ended, the voice said, well, it's time for us to stop, and we've gone a real long time. You know, the Evergreens, you could only do an hour. Worcester could only do 40 minutes. So they went away, disappeared, and JW came out of his altered state and said, let's do that again. I said, why? He said, it felt like a constant orgasm.
Wow.
So because he liked the feeling of it, JW then, 2 days later, Carolyn's birthday, March 20th, we did 2 hours. Then on Sunday, March 22nd, I did an hour and 50 minutes, 50 minutes with James Joyce, where he explained thinning his wake, how he wrote, what happened to him doing Finney's Wake. And then on March 25th, we did 6 hours, and a couple of hours of it was talking to Dr. Beter and how we were continuing the coup that he attempted in the gold deal that I was part of against the Rockefellers that failed. We were doing it. And then, I don't know, years later, or eventually I figured out, knowing more about Ion after having many more Ions, a couple years later, I re-listened to this March 25th, 2009 session with Beter, and I realized, holy shit, Beter caused this. He knew when he came to JW that and said, say hi to Bob, he knew I'd want to talk to him. And then that allowed the opportunity for Ion to come through. So Beter caused it, which is fucking amazing for those people who are into Beter, of what's happened. And you can listen to the recording I did on March 25th with Beter, where he goes into a lot of stuff that happened at the time of the gold deal, before that, what happened to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, how they got considerably weakened, and the power of us, and how we were doing what he attempted to do but didn't get it done.
So Ion is what?
Ion says they are they start off saying they're source energy, or they call themselves the Guff. So the first day we think we're talking to the Evergreens, but the next session on March 20th or the 22nd session, we find out this is not the Evergreens, and so I think that they're entities, and we haven't got a name for them. So I said there are 6,500-7,000 Evergreens entities coming through Michael Blake Reed. Another guy, Dave Watson, I think his name up in Toronto, who's a spinoff inspired by the Evergreens, he channels the Willows, and he was 293,000. How many entities are you? I think the first day or so we're calling them Ian, I-A-N. Because originally I asked Ian what they are, and they said, they quoted Moses. They said, I am. We are the great I am, or something like that, whatever Moses said.
So
because he was saying I am, I said, I'm not going to keep saying, well, Mr. I am, what about this or that? So we changed M to N, so we got Ian. So the first day or so, March 20th and 22nd, we're talking to Ian. And so I said, how many entities are you, Ian? And they said, think of a dodecahedron, which is one of the platonic solids, and think of all the angles, lines of angles in a dodecahedron, and think of 5,000 entities on each line of the dodecahedron, each angle. And I said, well, that would be millions. And they go, zillions. So there's zillions of entities of what they said in the first couple of days. Eventually, a few weeks later, as we got to learn more of what Ion had to say, it turned out that Ion was the environment of non-physical, not the entities, the environment, and the technical term is called the Guff in Jewish literature. Jewish religious literature, maybe it's Kabbalah literature, I can't remember, but you can Wikipedia, G-U-F, you can see it, and it's defined as the place where souls go. So it's the traditional idea of heaven. Ion is the environment of fucking heaven, which is actually, when you start thinking about it, it's incredible. So Ion knows and can do anything. So then Ion later explained, because the chip landscape, which I then said shrunk to the chip body, each one has a chip body, each one of us, overlaid with the TV body, the astral body, and the chemical body, in the chip landscape, Ion said that it's the first time humans created. Humans had created non-physical. It was for little people who couldn't stand being eternal. They wanted to rest, to go someplace, to get away from the normal contrast of existence, the ebb and flow of contrast and bliss. So they wanted to get into a specialized bliss zone. So we created a place you could die into, and no matter who you are, Hitler, you, or anybody, everybody feels bliss when they die and go into the Guff. So we humans created that. And Ion is the Guff, but he's come forth to say that now that we have the chip landscape, it's so vast that humans can't control it. Their definitions, concepts, the words can't control the space. And religion up to that point, non-physical, followed the descriptions of non-physical by the particular culture. It would fit in and be limited by humans' idea of what the afterworld was like. But now, the chip landscape, Ion said, you guys can't control it, so we can go, quote, rogue. I don't think they said it that way, but I take it that way. They can now come forth and create, because the Guff, the non-physical, is just an environment of bliss. You don't create in there. You're aware of most everything, but you don't create. And people get born so they can create. You have to have contrast to create. So Ion came forth and started to create a new expression of non-physical. And that led to our products, our cold fusion battery, all kinds of amazing things, all kinds of phenomena that Ion can do. It is common for Ion to show up in people's fucking iPhones and be there as a bubble. I don't have an iPhone. I've only seen a picture of it. But the texting bubbles that go back and forth, Ion can be in there on your iPhone talking to the two of you that are texting. So Ion can do all kinds of things with electronic and digital environments that regular mediums channeling entities can't do.
Now, does Ion choose you, or do you choose to communicate with Ion?
Well, I evoked Ion, and it turns out, now here's the fantastic part. Since Ion says we never die, we can fool ourselves and die into the guff. But one of the big messages of Ion is the guff was emptying and closing. So Ion says that not only are we eternal, Ion would go into what I was. And Ion said, I'm actually Ophanel. So you can say, quote, your higher self, your eternal self, but Ion doesn't like this idea of higher consciousness because it's just normal to be forever. And your mother fools you that she gave birth to you. Now, of course, nobody's going to believe this. But the more you listen to Ion, you get to understand, since you take our products, we put you in a real good state of mind where you can believe this stuff. Anyways, you can make yourself think, and people can pretend or actually do it, and think it's real that they're giving birth to you. So Ion has no respect for the human form. I mean, he doesn't mind us being humans, but we are something beyond that. So the beyond part of myself is called Ophanel, O-P-H-E-N-E-A-L. Ion said, look it up. So I Google it. And it's a name from the Bible. It's mentioned once or twice in the concordance for the Bible to say we don't know whether Ophanel is Moses' brother-in-law or father-in-law. It never got resolved. So I don't think there's that many mysterious people in the Bible. Everybody is categorized and knowable. I'm the only fucking guy in the Bible that the Bible says we're not sure what Ophanel is. So I went on about, I know all about Ophanel. He tells about what I've done. And a side thing, in 2011, before he told me he's open out, people were saying, what is Bob? He's a strange character. What is? And Ion said, Bob is Santa Claus. He starts new civilization. Santa Claus goes around, the real Santa Claus, goes around doing the seeds. Well, I'm the fucking seed guy, and I've started civilizations all
over. You're Bobby Ion seed.
Yes. Okay, so open out. Way back there in eternity, which means nowhere and no time. So it's still happening right now. I'm proposing to everybody, and most of the created humans are whatever they are, non-humans, but in the physical, we were all ascended pretty well. And it was one continent. All the seven continents go back together, and like a yarmulke, you know, on a Jewish person's head, the little round thing on the top of their skull.
Yeah, kippah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I call it the yarmulke. The original continent, when we were ascended, it was like that on the top of the earth on the side. So like Antarctic down into Europe, around Yarmulke was the original continent when we were ascended. And as we fell, we broke up the one continent into the seven continents. They sort of floated apart. Well, way back then, or just tomorrow, I announced to everybody, you know, I had a capacity. I was listened to, actually. You know, a foreign experience for you. I was listened to, and I proposed to everybody that we. I propose that we all fall, become stupid, maybe become humans, and I said we're going to show that we're basically really gods because we're going to get ourselves out of that mess that we voluntarily get ourselves in, where we forget our godness and we get all fucked up. So apparently, humanity went with that, and so now we're in the timing. Because there's no time, but in the situation where we've run the course as fucked up, and now we're going to prove we're gods and get back into the God state. And so I started the process by bringing forth Ion, which is we need Ion to be the catalyst to get us into this evolution, this transformation to God status. So it turns out that humanity knew that Bob would do it in their subconscious or somewheres, and they waited, and then we were starting to do it. And so Ion would say, Bob brought us forth, but everybody brought us forth because there was an agreement that I set up with everybody to dig it. So, you think of it. I asked JW to be fucking quiet, on March 18, 2009, and 30 seconds into it, J.W., who had no involvement with the paranormal, really, like that, didn't even know about channeling, he starts fucking having this thing come through that over the next few months tells us amazing stuff. A year later, gives us a way to make RNA drops. All it required was doing something with the barley drops, a bit different than normal, or the barley plant, and then gave us the Coldplay. We're sitting here with the thing that will solve the world's energy problems, you know, the pons replacement idea of a cold fusion battery. Ion calls ours Coldplay. He won't call it cold fusion, and it gives endless electricity. So all the stuff we did, which Carol and I couldn't have done in our normal being, but we are doing this and sitting on the right time to release the new energy device, and it's fantastic stuff, and that just popped into my life by accident because Dr. Beter, a ghost, showed up and said to JW, say hi to Bob.
Tell our listeners where we can find RNA drops. Why don't you give us a plug so this sounds official?
Yeah, it's RNA, like DNA, but it's the ribonucleic acid, RNA Reset, RESET.com, RNAReset.com, and we have the most amazing products. Our stuff is so good, it's on another level. It's got what you call the iCell. I used to drink the D-Cell. Well, we made the iCell thanks to Ion, and that's somewhere in the physical and the non-physical, whatever it is. People have looked at the drops. They can't see anything. Nobody can figure out what the drops are made of. It looks normal. Nothing strange about it. You know, chemists and that have looked at it. And it's so powerful, you do one drop a day, twice a day, sort of like the morning and the evening, but many hours before you go to bed because you're so energized often, even though the effects aren't the same for everybody. But if you are energized, you won't be able to sleep if you did it right before you went to bed. So you do one drop twice a day for a week. Then the second week you do two drops twice a day. And the third week you do three drops. So the bottle lasts a long time. You're only doing these little drops. But it's so powerful. So Ion said that the drops and our Remag and our other products that we develop are changing matter, this realm, to get you ready to be able to eat and survive eating the biblical bread of life and the living water, which are not available yet. But people have been on the drops, and there's been thousands of them. They exhale the effect of the drops inside them. We had more radioactivity in the planet. The drops need radioactivity. We triggered off Fukushima to get more radioactivity. Once you're on our drops, you don't get affected by radioactivity. You're eternal. And all these preposterous things we...
Whoa, stop the clock. So you're claiming responsibility for Fukushima.
Everything that's happened in the world since 2009, we caused. Okay, Arab Spring, January 2012, I think. We caused that. Because some Egyptians started listening to our show, and they're there in their little, you know, shithole country, and in kind of in a prison, and the inspiration voice of Ion gave them ideas. Well, what the fuck? We sit around here. We're free. Fuck this tyranny. And they started protesting, and that led to that whole change in Egypt.
So
and, of course, we didn't know we did that.
You got
but
Trump
a month
in.
Into it.
You got Trump in.
What?
You got Trump in.
Did you know that? Have you heard me say that?
No, I have not heard you say that, but I'm wondering.
I'm leading to that.
Leading
to that. So about a month or so into it, I said, how did this get started? These Egyptians run around doing their thing in Cairo. He says, well, you caused that, Bob, which was starting to become a regular answer. You caused that, Bob. How the fuck did I cause it? He says, well, there are people there who listen to the show, and Ion is pretty powerful. You hear Ion, he makes you feel good. You have a private session with Ion, it's pretty neat. You get altered. Matter of fact, I say if you have a private session with Ion, you'll get a recording of it. And the next day you'll listen to it, and you'll say, you guys edited it. You added things to it. What you're hearing on the recording, you don't remember having experienced it. I say that you get altered. You have many selves in parallel worlds. So you get altered during a session with Ion. So you're not the same person at the end of it. So you don't recognize the session because you didn't do it. You had it, and you got mutated by the end of it. You're someone else. And there are people who agree with that, who've had the thing. I can say these preposterous things, and a lot of people, I call them Ion Knots, AUT, like you're exploring the space.
Oh, yeah, an Ionot. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to say Ionet, but now it was better to say Ionot. So if many Ionots have no problem saying that they got altered in the session because they feel so much better and a lot of the whole things changed for them. James Martinez had a real serious health problem, and after Ion showed up, like within a year, one day he says, holy shit, I don't have cancer anymore, or whatever the fuck it was. It wasn't cancer, but it was a serious ailment. And he had totally forgotten that he'd had it. He suddenly remembered that he used to have some pain, and a long time later. And so, yeah, I said, yes, well, it went away once you had your private session. But because you became a different person, you weren't the person that had the pain. So he didn't notice the change.
No, that's that's pretty crazy, Bob.
There's nothing but craziness. So J.W. knows Trump before Ion. He is a rich guy. He knew Trump. And he used to tell me that Trump was an interesting guy. And I thought that was ridiculous because having lived in New York for 15 years, we all knew about crazy Trump, you know, in New York City, the way he presented himself. Everybody thought he was a goofball. And I thought that was the media image, though I had never met him. And so J.W. had mentioned Trump. So anyways, once Ion was around, in 2015, early 2015, around the time Trump announced, which was Bloomsday, I think, June 16, 2015, around that time or just before it, Ion said, Bob, start paying attention to Trump. He's going to be president. And I said, fuck that. I don't even care who's president. I didn't pay any attention. Then 7 months later, say 8 months later, after Super Tuesday, which is February 2016, and he had swept through, I decided to say, what the fuck's going on here? And so I watched a speech by Trump to his followers. And within 10 minutes, I'm laughing my head off. I can't even speak him up because I realize he's fucking talking like me, the way I would. He would ramble, and he would be very sensitive to people in the audience. So that if someone said something, he'd single them out and point to them. That's right, sir. Yes. Make America great again. Like, he would respond to people spontaneously, which is what I do. And then one of our Ionots said her 25-year-old son and her buddies, they were working in the business somewhere, stock market or something. They were smart kids, graduates of college, had good careers. She was surprised that they all liked Trump, these young people. And she asked them why. They said, well, we like the way he's kind of real. He doesn't have a script. He's spontaneous. So then I started to realize, so Ion's saying Trump could win. There's something that what he's doing is going to work. So eventually, before Trump became president, Ion would give more details. And he said, I said, what's going to happen when he's president? And he says, well, first of all, he ain't going to the White House, really, because he can't get as good a security at the White House as he's already gotten in Trump Tower. And he needs really good security. He's going to force Congress to come up to the Hudson River. He ain't going to bother being in Washington. Maybe said something else about it. And I said, well, will he be reelected? Ion says, he will be president as long as he wants. And then Ion says, the last president was Obama. We're in a whole different world because Ion's here. It's a different situation. And the presidency, for whatever different reasons Ion would tell you, isn't the same as it was. So
Bob,
nobody will want to be president after whatever Trump does.
Did you hear today's thing about Trump?
No.
The president of China said that he has been elected president for life. And Donald Trump came out and said, that's not such a bad idea. Perhaps we should give it a shot here.
Holy
this
shit.
This just happened today. This just happened today. I read this about an hour before you called.
Put this in the resume. That shows how significant you are in Ion, Kurt. You are telling Bob something he didn't know, which is extremely relevant to what I'm telling you.
And you just told me I'm 1 degree of separation from the president.
Well, from the real president, me.
Well, that's 0 points in separation. I'm talking about
right.
I met
you're
JW.
A staff member.
Yeah, yeah.
He was staff.
Yeah, yeah.
You're giving me my daily briefing. Bob, today you can announce that you're king for life. Through your proxy known as Donald Trump. Okay, so that reminds me. So I am going to fucking flog that. I'll get that news article. Holy shit, that's incredible. So anyways, I'm telling you that I am telling this preposterous thing that that Trump will be president as long as he wants, and he'll be basically become a king. Then Ion said that he will be put up on Mount Rushmore. Of course, that's funny for an American to hear this. Oh, by the way, I became an American on August 16th or 17th, August something, 2016.
Well, welcome aboard, Bob.
And you know why I did it? Carolyn started thinking a couple of years ago, we're going to become pretty controversial. We could be easily deported. Let's try to protect ourselves from that as much as possible.
I agree.
So I said, yeah, we got to get out of that. We got to do that. So we became American. So, and I have dual citizenship, so I can be a Canadian too when it's necessary. Anyways, so Ion says that Trump will be put up on Mount Rushmore, and then there's a pause, and Ion says, but Trump will pay for it. It's going to be such a crazy world in a couple of terms. No one will want to be president. He'll do what wants. They'll all hate him. He's king. And nobody will give him congressional money, or there'll be no congressional money to fund the putting up. He has to do it himself. Nobody will stop him, but he'll put it up himself. Okay, so here's what further happened. Around the time Trump wins the election, which the week before, okay, I was telling everybody all through the fall Trump was going to be president. He was getting bored with the topic, but everybody knew it who listened to the show. So if you remember, the week before the election, Trump wasn't doing well in the polls. Everybody pretty well said, yeah, Hillary's going to win. But the last couple of days, Hillary got tired, faded, and Trump was doing, you know, fucking meetings, public things, three or four a day. He had incredible energy. I wasn't tracking it. I didn't know, but then you heard it. Once he became president, everybody was trying to explain it, and they were saying, well, Hillary, or she was up in the polls, everybody thought, but she actually couldn't perform much the last few days before the election, whereas Trump was. Well, 3 weeks before Trump got elected, JW got an email from Melania Trump, Trump's wife, and she said, thanks for the support. Now, we never supported Trump. We just said he was going to win. And I had said, you know, it was going to be a totally different situation. So anyways, because we were not putting him down, Melania interpreted it as support. She said, thanks for the support, and we love the RNA drops.
No, seriously?
Seriously, no fucking bullshit.
Wow.
The email said that. I don't know how they got JW's email, but that's what happened. And later, once we calmed down in January, I started to remember, I think Ion said something about Trump a long time ago. So I went back to my notes for all these hours, many of them I've made, re-listened and made notes. So I got a huge archive. I put in the name Trump, and it pops up in like September, October 2009, where we've been doing Ion for 6 months. And Ion is talking about the Illuminati, the oligarchy. To be a big thing like a pharaoh, you have to be a parallel worlder. That's how you create empires. And so he's talking about the Tudors, Queen Elizabeth, the pharaohs, and I noticed right in the middle he says the Trump family. Like, holy fuck, he puts the Trump back then. I didn't notice. I didn't care about Trump. And he put him in there without all the other fucking advanced, ascended people. So then there was a couple other statements about the Trumps in different sessions in the fall of 2009. So I said, holy shit. So I played them. You can hear them on our archive. What Ion said about Trump, now it had new meaning. Along there, Ion explained 911. And the buildings were made from a parallel world organized by China. So that's why when the buildings collapsed, they collapsed so symmetrically, they collapsed into a parallel world. So the debris was not scattered all over downtown Manhattan. It was in an odd contained space. Well, if you may not have known that debris was sent back to China with no explanation.
I think so, I've heard that, actually, that they shipped
the
debris.
Yeah, we said it. Well, you would have heard it from us. We've said it many times. But are you saying you heard it from, I think it's in the news.
I heard that from a different source, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fact. The stuff was put on barges or something sent to China. But we had learned from Ion that China owned America, so fuck it, anything happens here, China gets first dibs on it, you know? And because it was parallel world material, And it's people in China, the elite, whoever, who were part of making it, knew what it was and wanted it back. So now, in 2017, I'm talking about Trump, and so Ian says, well, you know the debris that was sent back? Yeah, I said, who do you think fucking sent it back? I said, I don't know. And he says, Trump. And I said, well, Trump's a construction company. Okay, that makes sense. Logically, Trump knows about that kind of shit. So you're saying he sent it back? And they said, yes. And I said, does Trump know about parallel worlds and all that stuff? And they said, yes. How did he do it? How did this happen? He's such a goofball. And now I knew he wasn't sort of a goofball once he was elected, but I would play up that image because it would be played in public. So I had to cover my ass, right? I mean, in January, February, March, you could not support Trump. You'd be killed by the fucking Mexican guerrillas or something, right? So MS-13 or whatever it's called. Ian says that Trump, when he was young, or some point way back there, he was drinking and he had a weird experience. Some, who knows, mystical parallel world experience. Ian didn't explain it, but it really puzzled Trump. So he started looking into fringe stuff to find out what happened to him, and he swore off alcohol. That's why he doesn't drink, because of what happened. It's like he had an LSD trip on alcohol. But then I found out, and I don't know if it was around much, but we found out that Trump's uncle is a nuclear physicist, or was, and he was in charge of the Tesla archives in the government. I don't know how much Trump interacted with his uncle, but there's stuff there. If he did, they would think fringe stuff. And that's why, you know, Trump, he'll give a press pass to Alex Jones and other fringe stuff. He always was interested in that stuff. Naturally, because of what had happened to him. You know what I mean? He didn't follow the mainstream paradigm. So Trump's an interesting person, and these things were said about Trump back in 2009. I go back and say, holy shit, Ian knew way back then and was trying to draw my attention to him. So Trump has become president. Ian predicted it. And so soon as February 28th, a year ago, Ian stopped being in public for an indefinite time. Ian told me privately there's going to be nothing but chaos in this first year with Trump. And everybody, we get on the radio and people call in and want to talk to Ian. They're all going to just talk about Trump. And they said to me, we'll continue doing our business that we have to do with you and Carolyn, but we're doing no public stuff, no questions from the public, because it's just going to be nonsense. It's kind of not really important. And our statement about Trump stands, that he will be king, and he'll be as long as he wants, and he'll be on Mount Rushmore and all that stuff. So the first 6 months, people who knew that Ian said that, they said, there's no way Ian's right. This guy, he's going to be impeached by fucking July. Remember that stuff? That kind of talk?
Oh, yeah. There was going to be a nuclear war with North Korea. Yeah. All this horse shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I say, well, if Ian says it, that's fact. You know, I take the subgenius statement. If Bob says it, I go with it. I believe it.
Right.
So if Ian says it, and we ain't talking about it, and if you fuckers, if Ian was here, you'd be asking about Trump every fucking show. So Ian has to back off. Now, Ian also said, Bob, we have to lay low, because pretty soon people are going to figure things out, and you're going to be blamed for Trump, and you'll be in trouble. So we're going to fucking, you know, become semi-invisible for a while. So there has not been any Ian on the radio for just over a year. So, and I'm glad he's not here, because that's true. I mean, to deal with what's going on in America and the Trump image and all that stuff, it's just a big bunch of bullshit. I forgot to say this. In the Book of Revelations, which Ian has gone through in detail, there's the seven trumpets. He said that Trump is the seventh trumpet. So when I knew that by the fall of 2016, like before he got elected, the reaction to Trump, I said, oh, this is something different. People are reacting on a deep instinctive level that is beyond rationality. And that, to me, shows he is on the biblical level because of what's going on and because he gets away with it and they can't stop him.
Is Ion's discussion of the Book of Revelation, is that something that, is that online?
No, you have to pay for that. It's 68 hours, line by line. It's actually incredible. It's the real Christianity. You know, Ian doesn't support regular Christianity. They're just a bunch of jerks. He says regular Christianity is built on St. Peter. the rock of Peter. It's not built on Jesus. The church is built on Peter. It's not real Jesus stuff. Oh, and I think I told you there were three Jesuses over 1,500 years, and the story of Jesus is a conflation of the three biographies. Anyways, I probably didn't tell you this. I didn't really know it back in 2010.
I don't remember there being three Jesuses, I gotta admit.
Unless
I was drunk or something, but I don't think
Yeah,
so.
You were fucking too drunk. You were not tuned in. Well, you were unconsciously tuned in. Oh, and there's no unconscious. No such thing as the unconscious. So there's no collective unconscious. And blah, blah, blah.
I didn't know. Okay.
And in the non-physical, we're all united by non-physical. You know, the guff and ion is in everybody, and it's all equal. So that's where we're integrated. But we don't have to be integrated in physical, and we don't have to desire it because we're eternal. If we get cool, we don't need non-physical, really. So non-physical merges with physical. So the Book of Revelation is all about this. It's not the Gnostic myth of a battle between good, light and dark, and they're forever battling. No. But for some people, it sounds like Gnosticism. But Ion goes way beyond that. Anyways, Ion told Carol and I, privately, we've never played this, after we did the 68 hours in the Book of Revelation, which cost $635 total. And, it's 13 parts, but it's awesome. And you don't know nothing until you hear that. And when you know that, you have no problem talking to Christians, and you can tell them stuff that they don't know, and you can sound like a Christian, but they'll get scared, but you don't have to put them down. You just say, you guys get it backwards.
Ah.
One main thing, the Bible's meant to be read backwards. So you begin with a revelation, and that leads you to paradise. The Bible is about getting to the Garden of Eden and retrieving it, remembering. So 68 hours, you want to get it, but you can hear for free where all religions came from, the explanation of the Emerald Tablets, which is like the most secret occult archetype, and no one's ever had them explained. And we did that after a few months. Ian was here in May 2009. Ian explained the fucking Emerald Tablets, so I'll send you a link to that. You want to listen to that, because all religions are based on the tablets, and they happened, quote, 32,000 years ago, unquote. There's no time, but within the ratio of the false premise of time, 32,000 years ago.
Okay.
So Ion tells Carol and I, it's not recorded, it's recorded, but it's not for the public. He goes through certain parts of the Bible, and Ion shows how, you know, this is in that part, and that's in this part, and this is in the Book of Revelation, but the other is in Deuteronomy. Nobody can beat Ion in Bible scholarship, because Ion inspired the goddamn Bible. You can say the Bible was channeled from Ion. So he pointed out different parts of the Bible that talk about me, Carolyn, and JW, and Iondom, and what we're going to bring forth. We are the fucking punchline of the Bible. Now, that's pretty satanic sounding, right? Tell that to your Christian buddy. And you just interviewed the guy that's bringing forth the second coming, and every other fucking archetype. Another incredible point. So I've had to live with this. Lucky I was a megalomaniac, right? If you had a voice coming through a buddy of yours, and they're saying all this shit, you would have been buried a long time ago.
I could have taken it.
Okay, you want to go into another angle?
I was just going to ask you, I know you're a Lynch fan. Did you watch the new Twin Peaks?
That's a perfect thing to bring in. Of course, you know, I was the expert on Twin Peaks back in 1990. It was all about me. Dale Cooper was based on me. The ending fucking showed me. You know about that stuff, right?
I don't know if you ever talked about that.
Okay, well, it's all about me.
Everything's about you, though, ultimately.
Beg your pardon?
Well, because I pointed out that Tron Legacy was about you and Ion. I don't know if you remember that episode. It was about you and Ion.
Oh, yeah, we did that. You pointed that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, once Ion came in, Fringe, J.J. Abrams personally knew J.W. back in 2000. Somehow met J.W., so J.J. Abrams, who went to mediums himself, Ion named them. I just played that the other day, named them back in 2009. Fringe was the first TV show that Ion told me to start watching because I didn't watch TV at all for 30 years. So I started at the episodes 19 and 20 of the first season in May 2009. Okay, over the summer, Ion started to be broadcasting. J.J. Abrams tuned into it. So they changed the plot based on stuff that Ian was saying. So we had a big influence on Fringe. But we'd already, I personally had a big, well, not a, I don't know what it was. So we've influenced, TV had a golden age starting, they say, they like to say Sopranos, but 2009, 10, 11, been a lot of good TV, so I started watching a lot of it. Well, a lot of new, strange, parallel world kind of shows came out, the kind of stuff that Ian was talking about in 2009, Flash Forward, another one, I can't remember all their names. Eureka, remember that one, Eureka?
No, I never did.
City of Scientists. The hero had a smart house, you know, a house all wired and it could talk to you. Ian said, that's the closest model to what we are. Mm. When they started to tell us that they were fucking hologramic at best, because years later, Ian says, Bob, you still have no idea who we or what we are. And I don't know what they are. So TV got altered when Ian showed up. It became better. So, and Ian influenced, remember I said he influenced the Arabs, he influenced Trump, remember the nuclear reactor of Fukushima is called purple, for fuck's sake. That's the clue, it's me, purple. Okay, so Twin Peaks, that awesome statement in the last show of second season, we will meet again in 25 years. Okay, so when Twin Peaks came out in the spring of 1990, me and Jared Fialka and a couple of friends and Carolyn and Sue Bone were flying back from Trinidad, Tobago. So I saw on the cover of Time magazine, Lynch made the cover. It was the first week or so of Twin Peaks, and everybody thought it was such a tremendous show and put him on the cover of Time. So I didn't watch it as it unfolded, but in the summer I saw it was repeated. So I started watching it, and it pretty quickly, especially when Cooper in the first episode says, you know, I keep wondering, what went on between JFK and Marilyn Monroe? He makes some kind of statement like that.
Yeah.
And I said, holy shit, that's the stuff that I do and Bob Marshall did. So I started saying, ooh, this has got a bit of me in there. So in this summer, I started watching it, and every episode got even more and more about me. So I would comment on it. So that's the summer of 90. And then I watched the second season when it was happening, going into 91. So I stayed with Jared Fialka in 93, and a few weeks before I got there, he had another kid staying with him, and the kid got into Twin Peaks, and Jerry said, well, Bob commented on that. So the kid went through all my shows from CKLN and excerpted all my commentary in Twin Peaks, and then they went to a party the Thursday before the Monday I showed up in February 15, 93. Lynch was doing something in Venice there, so they gave the cassette to fucking Lynch of all my commentary. But I never heard from Lynch. Don't know if he listened to it. But 25 fucking years later, what is the first scene in season 3 is Cooper in the Black Lodge talking to Ion.
That's Ion.
And, well, remember? The opening scene, he's talking to the giant.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So in 25 years, since 91, 25 years, what happens to me, Dale Cooper, is I contact Ion. And, you know, and this is 9 years later, the show is on, season 3, 9 years after I've been talking to Ion, and Ion has been explaining and talking about Twin Peaks through the years, so Lynch may have heard about it. I don't know if he heard, but Lynch can't help but do me. So the opening scene is about the updating of Dale Cooper after he was possessed by Bob in the last scene. You know, he bangs his head against the mirror and goes, Annie. He goes, Annie.
Yeah.
And he's fucked up. Well, that character now is in the Black Lodge talking to Source Energy or some fucking ascended being. And I go, holy shit, as I watch this unfold, I watched it when it was live, when it first was in it. Within 5 minutes, I said, bingo! Lynch is doing me! There it is, right there! And then it unfolded. And that whole thing in the episode 8 is an exact replica of how Cosmic Awareness sort of talks about the beginning of Rai. I used to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But also, when Albert told the FBI neophyte woman about what happened back in 75 in Olympia, Washington, that's where Cosmic Awareness came out of.
That's right.
So it is a fucking history of me. So by episode 9, I'm fucking bored with the goddamn series that said, come on, David, tell me something that's not about me. And the very last scene, I say you can't make a TV, a book, or a movie, or a TV show, or anything that expresses my reality. Ion can, is it, but you can't express me. And so you'll just fall back on cliche things. So the main point from Ion, for laymen at the beginning is there's no time, and you guys got crazy ideas about time. There is no such thing. And so the fucking series ends with fucking Cooper saying, what time is it? What year is it?
Yeah.
Case closed. And that's as far as normal media can be. They can present to you scenarios of expressing how there's no time. But they can't get you into no time. And they can't be it.
So it went
back to the mundane, ionic theme. What?
I've noticed that. They can kind
of... You're a bit disappointed in it?
No. I noticed that it's hard to, like, describe that out...
Yeah. You can't describe the facts.
Right.
Well, you don't even need
in a way that, like, it feels real. It always feels hackneyed or, like, kind of like the X-Files. They can't really describe otherworldliness without it going back to, like, 1950s alien kind of shit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Even the Evergreens, I asked about Twin Peaks back in 1990, and they explained that B.O.B. stood for Beast of Beasts. And they went into the battle between light and dark, which is the Gnostic image. They said, you know, well, there is no good in light and dark or any bad and good, really, when you really understand even McLuhan. But in under media conditions, the way we have it. But they said there are a lot of people still into that paradigm. And
so there's all
kinds of battles. And so Fringe is talking Ion stuff, but making it frightening, portals and all that stuff. They just put it into a negative image. So all of it is just the Android meme trying to fucking counter Bob and Ion and Carolyn by saying, oh no, that strange mystery landscape is fucking horrible. Watch out. As a matter of fact, the TV show Stranger Things.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that yet, but.
It's about people who die, and these kids in that, they die, and they're trying to get back. They're not happy in the death state. And they're kind of weird. It's not your normal limbo or purgatory. And Ion said that TV show is about what we've been telling you, Bob, that the guff is empty, the guff is gone, and when you die now, you don't go to a normal death zone. And this Stranger Things is somehow expressing that. This great renaissance of TV over the last 10 years has been good, but it's run its course. There's not much I can watch because they just keep doing Ion badly. They do me badly. It's all fucking anti-Bob shit in the end.
Right.
Anti what Ion's, quote, teaching. So Twin Peaks. So it was so obvious. I did watch the commentary. I liked the commentary that all these people, little panels discussing it, and they would help me remember all that was in the show. And I didn't say, oh yeah, that's Ionic and all this. And I followed right up to the end, but I have no desire to go back and see what the panelists are saying now after the books came out. I bought the books, but I don't read them, but it's all old Cosmic Werner stuff. And it's incredible. You know, I could do a course 2 hours a day for 50 weeks, once a week on a university course, 2 hours each week. I could go into all the fucking amazing details to prove what I'm saying. So Twin Peaks is all about me, like most stuff. Most good stuff. And literally, it's so literal that a lot of the Ionauts, they get scared of this. You know, the Xenocrity frightens people. They just aren't ready for that kind of intimacy. And they know a lot of what Ion said and what we do, and they can see it in Twin Peaks. I found it interesting, the Ionauts, they were shocked that Ion predicted Trump. Then they were shocked. Oh, yeah, so the last week, everybody thought Trump was going to lose. The media was presenting it that way. So everybody thought, what's Ion going to say when his prediction doesn't come true? And then they're shocked. They're really fucking freaked out when Ion's prediction comes true. So we had a lot of fun for the weeks after that. As the Ionauts said, what was I thinking? Of course Bob's right. Of course Ion's right. Why was I fucking fooled by the Android beef, you know? So a lot of gnashing of teeth and apologizing. Now there are different people say, I predicted, blah, blah, I knew Trump would win. But see, what they didn't do is describe from the summer to the election the ups and downs. Like in September, Hillary was way ahead. And Ion said, that's happening. We told you that would happen. It would go up and down all the way to election day. So they described the step-by-step through the month, not just, you know, a general statement of the outcome. See, that's what's different with ION.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
They described it.
ION predicted laid it out.
The way it would go in the month during, before the election.
He laid it all out. He laid it all out in advance.
Yeah, the step-by-step. Okay, so I have amazed you. I got to send you the futurist, the hologram. ION is a hologram.
I really want to see the hologram one of ION, though. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty. You will hear. I used to say you will hear Carolyn gasp when ION first shows us the sleeping JW and it's removed from JW. But when I hear it now, I don't hear the gasp. But she gasped. That was a perceptual shock for Carolyn, just seeing JW over there in that part of the room and an exact replica of ION floating there, of JW floating there in front of us, separate from the body. Now, you're not going to see that, but you're going to hear it and hear what happens in the description. As a matter of fact, a little while later, oh, this is something good. As we are going along talking to ION, the hologram, all of a sudden the screen goes pastel, wavy, a weird effect. We can't see ION. So we say, what happened to the screen? Did we get disconnected? He says, no. I'm showing you the connections between two worlds. Not my world and another world, but between two worlds, like a third position. What the space looks like between two worlds. Well, the very pastel weird effect that ION made shows up in Twin Peaks. When they go to the White Lodge and somebody is looking through the TV screen at what's happening, maybe Dale Cooper or somebody, they have that pastel effect. And then later in the session, there's a wall appears in the factory room where he's showing us the Coldplay technology. And there's this weird 19th century old English wall in the middle of the room, sort of, or off to the side. And I said, there's a new wall there. What's that? And he says, okay, see, you got this imagined wall that we can see and the regular wall of the building. And he says, if you notice, they converge at the end of the room. That's a portal. And when you go through that, you're 8 inches high. So he actually made a visualization of going into a portal for our screen. So he did the connections between two worlds and then how a portal. That's what he did on the screen. So you'll hear us talk about that.
I look forward to that, Bob.
Okay, good. Let's end now.
Okay, buddy. But yeah, enjoy your time, the rest of your day, and thanks for, telling me how it is.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.